702. Change your mindset.
Stanley Beckett is my guest, author and consultant at Change Creator SA. We're talking about burnout and the 12 stages of burnout. He's asking the question, at which stage of burnout are you following this conversation? Stanley, thank you so much for joining me, my brother. Are you well?
Yeah, good evening, Aubrey. Well, and you, and good evening to all the listeners.
Excellent. Listen, burnout is the biggest problem in the world, as you suggest. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite state it that it's the biggest problem in the world. I think it's more like it's the biggest growing problem,
right,
and challenge that businesses and individuals face today. And I started doing more research, and I'll tell you why I started. Let me just quickly put a little bit of context into tonight's talk. Is, you know, we've been speaking the last few weeks about some of the things you need to be, the things that actually are going to determine the quality of your life. And we also spoke, if you remember, a few months ago, we started talking about grit and developing grit and why that's so necessary. But then it was pointed out to me, and something really important, Aubrey, is that if you are like most people are right now, and you are tired, you're exhausted, you've been stressing for years, you're stressing about finances, you're stressing about your job, you're stressing about your health, and people are just tired out there, the last thing you want to hear then is, hey, you got to develop more grit. You know, and you're not really going to do that until you're at that space where you're ready to start developing that. You're ready to start working on it. And the truth is, many people are not there at the moment, because many people are just trying to survive from day to day because they are what we now call burnt out. And this is really interesting, Aubrey, is that the studies are showing that 75 to 80% of people are either burnt out or on one of the stages of burnout. And when you're on one of the stages of burnout, you can start leading you further and further down until you become totally burnt out. And this is happening to more and more people. And when you look around you, you actually can see it. You can see the way people are treating each other. You can see the anger and the absolute need for things to change that people have. And people are just exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually. And it's time for us to admit this. It's time for us to talk about it. It's time for us to start looking after ourselves better. But we're not going to do that if we don't recognize that we are one of those people. Because I think many of us, many times we stand outside and we look at others and we go, that's not me. But it might be you. You just don't realize it yet. So in order to do that, I thought it would be a good start into this conversation to talk about what are the different stages of burnout. The earlier you can pick it up, it's like any kind of illness, for example, that a person has. The earlier you can pick up that there's a problem, the easier it is to turn it around. The deeper down the stages you are, the more you need support to help you do that. But many people are just in the beginning stages, and I was hoping that tonight's conversation and identifying can get people, number one, to identify that they actually might be heading towards a burnout, and number two, to realize that it's okay to talk about it. You're not alone. There's many people that are, like I said, up to the World Health Organization is saying up to 75 to 80% of people are either suffering from burnout already or heading towards that way. That means that you're probably in the demographic that is, and the sooner you can realize it and the sooner you can understand how to deal with it, the sooner you can start turning things around.
What is burnout, Stanley? I think it's important for us at least to get a working definition of what it is, so that we can check whether or not we are encumbered by it. You're going to talk in a few moments about the various stages of it, but what is it in broad terms?
In the broadest terms, it's hard to define as one specific thing, Aubrey. I would rather, instead of saying what it is, talk about the symptoms of burnout. Right? But burnout, if you have to really go to a definition, burnout is when you've become so tired, you've been so stressed, you get to a stage where you get to the lowest stage of burnout, where you completely withdraw from life. you completely you can't function properly anymore. But mentally starts affecting you in such a way that you can't perform optimally, you can't perform normally, and sometimes some people go to a severe stage where they need sometimes weeks of recuperation, some people need months of recuperation, some people need years of recuperation. So it's difficult to talk about burnout exactly what it is, the medical, or if there's a medical definition. I've never really studied that. I've more been focusing on what are the symptoms of burnout. So what does it mean to have burnout, and how do I identify that I've possibly got burnout? Remember, nothing is definite, and it still needs to be checked further. But all of these are very good signs I might be in the stages of burnout, and I think that that's really important to discuss tonight.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Are you experiencing the symptoms of burnout that Stanley is going to tell us a little bit more about? And what are you doing about it? Yeah? At which stage of these symptoms do you find yourself? What are the possible consequences of this? Give us a call and on 011-883-0702. Stanley, let's go into those symptoms. And perhaps our listeners will give us a call and let us know whether they recognize them.
Yeah, and I just want to quickly just read for you a bit of a definition on burnout, just so that it helps us understand what we're talking about. Maybe having a bit of a definition is an early taster to what we're going to talk about. But what they say, burnout is a syndrome that's conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress. Now, I want to just add something to that, Aubrey, and that's why I personally don't always like just the dictionary definition, because there's more to it than that. For many people, it is chronic workplace stress, but many people have stresses beyond the workplace. And I think any chronic stress, and that can be somebody sitting at a home that is stressed the whole time because they're looking for a job, that can also lead to burnout. You know, we can see that in many of our youth. We can see it in many of the youth that are, people out there looking for work, they've withdrawn from that process. In other words, they are burnt out from looking for work. They've been doing it for so long that they've reached a stage in burnout where they withdraw from it. They say, I don't care anymore. I'm not going to send my CV out anymore. So it doesn't just come from chronic workplace stress, but that's the most common place. And it's stress that hasn't been successfully managed. And that's why I tell people all the time, when it comes to burnout, burnout is not a me problem. Burnout is a we problem, right? And this is such an important message for businesses, because businesses think that when people are burnout, it's an individual problem. It's an individual person's problem. But actually, the studies and the research are showing that it's more a workplace problem than an individual problem, right? And what we will do in our next session is we'll talk about some of the factors that cause stress and burnout in the workplace. And we're going to find that it's a lot of we might think we know it, but there's a lot more factors than we think there are. But that's because these things aren't being successfully managed, because people don't understand it properly. So it's under that definition that I want to talk about the different stages. And Aubrey, like I said, hopefully the listeners tonight can really look and identify at what stage do I think I am right now, knowing, as I said to you, the further down we go, the more it's a warning you need to do something about it sooner rather than later. So stage number one is I'm going to change it slightly for the person working in an office and a person who's not employed at the moment, so that everyone hopefully can understand what we're talking about here. But for a person employed, it's called the compulsion to prove yourself stage. So this happens when somebody goes to their job, and I think we can all identify with this. And what do you want to do? You want to prove yourself right in the beginning. You want to prove that you're valuable. So you've got this compulsion to prove yourself. There's need inside of you to prove yourself. And that under definition already...
How does that manifest itself? That compulsion, that need to be indispensable or valuable. How do we see it acting out?
That is when the person's hustling all the time. Okay. Right? You feel you've got a lot to prove, and you're working all the time. You're not taking rests. You're working really hard. Okay, right. You'll see there's many people in the workplace that look at the newcomers and they just shake their head at them and go, these guys will learn how to calm down soon. You know, but you're hustling all the time. You always want to do your best. You're working really hard at it. You know, it's not quite there yet, but inside of you is this desire to prove yourself. That's right. What they call the first stage.
Let me understand you, Stanley. So at that stage, you're not yet burnt out.
No, not yet, no.
All right, okay. All right, go ahead, yeah.
But remember, these are the stages that are leading, they are different stages.
Right, okay.
It's only when you get to the final stage that you're in full burnout mode, as some people say. You see, people think that that's the only burnout, that's what they're talking about, burnout. No, that's what I'm trying to say. Stage one is already the first sign of burnout.
Yeah.
Right? You're constantly working to prove yourself. Okay. For the individual not working, stage one would be when you start excessively worrying about something. Worrying about not having enough money. Worrying about not having a job. Worrying about, is this relationship going to work? That's stage one. Okay. So each stage takes you closer to a full burnout. Right. Stage one is still far away, but it's a starting phase.
Right.
So that once you're hustling, you're now going to stage two. You start working even harder. So in the business world, this happens to a lot of people who start their own business, right? They want to prove themselves. They want to prove that this can work. So they start working harder. They go to stage two of burnout, where the 9 to 5 has now become the 9 to 7. Mm. And then it becomes the 9 to 9. And before you know it, you're heading into the next stage already. So that's stage two. Do you find yourself working longer hours? And many people have been thrust into this stage because of the pandemic. Many people are working longer hours to try and be as productive, especially single moms. There's a large study, Aubrey, on single moms, how much staying at home has affected them. Now suddenly they had to look after the kids full time, they had to cook, and they had to work and be as productive as what they were in the office, which means they were working 2, 3, 4 hours longer per day just to be able to get everything done. So that they were in stage two of burnout already.
Yeah.
Okay, are you good with those?
I'm good with those. What's important, I think, which is perhaps the mistake I made, I thought that those 12 stages are different levels of burnout. You're saying to me this is what happens before you get burnout.
Yes, this is all, I would say, each stage, the best way to think about it, is a, like a stepladder, is one
right.
step closer to that full burnout.
Understood.
You need to be, the sooner you can recognize these patterns, the sooner you can say, I need to stop and do something about
it.
Okay, and we go to stage, and by the way, stage two, for someone who might not be working, is when you've gone from worrying all the time to now you're starting to stress about it all the time.
Mm.
So worrying is one thing, it's in your mind, but stress you now start feeling in your body. You start feeling stress. Worry you think about, stress you feel.
Yeah.
So that's the stage two, right? Stage three is where you start neglecting your needs. So in other words, you start to you're working so hard that you maybe not sleeping as well as what you used to be, right? You maybe not eating properly. I've seen this, for example, this stage with my kids playing games.
Yeah,
they get so into the game they don't think about eating. They don't think about cleaning themselves and showering. They sleep erratic hours. You kind of start moving away from people. You don't have that social interaction because you just at work all the time.
Yeah.
So the things that you actually need to build up your energy are the things that you are neglecting.
Yeah.
Right. So that's when you realize I'm already at stage three of burnout.
Yes.
Can you see yourself, and this is again a question to the listeners, have you reached that stage already where you realize I am neglecting my needs? I'm so busy with work, I'm not eating lunch, I'm skipping lunches. I'm not eating as healthy as I used to be because I'm so busy I just go and eat. Go and buy fast food because that's what's most convenient. I'm finding myself going to sleep at erratic hours and waking up in all kinds of hours in the morning, worried about the emails and is it ready and is my presentation. So are you at that stage already where you're neglecting your needs?
Mm.
Right. And you can stop me at any time when you feel you want to just go over it. But I'll go through the stages until you stop.
I want you to go through all the stages, Stanley, because I usually stop you midway and then we don't get to all of them. And and then I feel a little bit weird after that. But please go ahead. Go ahead. And by the way, on 011-883-0702, we're talking about burnout and the stages that lead to it. Yeah. Perhaps you are recognizing yourself that you are no longer just worrying. It's no longer just something that's happening in your mind, but it's starting to manifest in the body. You're beginning to stress about a particular issue. You're no longer eating. Yeah. You're no longer, interested in the things that would under normal circumstances be part of your regimen. You don't eat on time and you don't eat. You just have a very suppressed appetite. Maybe even libido. Hey, Stanley. Maybe you were somebody that had a good libido. Now it's not there anymore, yeah?
That's a good point, Aubrey. Remember I said all the things that used to give you the energy, you are now not servicing those needs anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And a very good point there is that I think why it's important for you to mention that point is because, like I said to you, burnout, these mental problems that come from burnout, it's not a me problem, it's a we problem. We need to be helping each other. The wife at home that realizes her husband, let's just take this example, libido is suddenly lower, that's a sign he's heading towards burnout.
Yeah.
And if you can see that, and I'm hoping these conversations can facilitate that, if you can see those signs, and talk about it, and you can actually learn what I can do to help each other, I think that we can all start helping each other and realizing, you know what, we're all burnt out, and let's look at what stage we're at, because that's really important for me, is that as you'll see, as we progressively go down, the deeper the stages we go, the more you need help, the more difficult it is for you to help yourself.
Mm.
Okay, so the next stage is called the displacement of conflicts stage. Right.
Yeah.
So what the psychologists mean with this this stage is that you're starting to realize at this stage that you, because you are so much focused, working harder and doing the things that is taking, actually leading you to burnout, you are starting to miss other important things in your life.
Yeah.
But you displace it and you push it and you say, I'll get to that. Don't worry, I'll do that later. I know this is important for me to spend time with my kids right now. I'll do that next week, but next week never comes.
Yeah.
So when you're in this stage and you're finding yourself displacing things all the time, these things that are conflicting with your time, these things that you know are important for you to do, that's even deeper than not focusing on your needs, your own basic needs. Now you're starting to push away other people's needs.
Mm.
You're starting to not have supper with your wife, and when you do, you're not there. You're there in body, but you're not there in mind.
Yeah.
You, like I said to you, you don't go to those sport games that were important to you anymore. You, all the things that were really, really, you push it, but you justify it at this stage, and you say to yourself, I'll get to it, but you don't actually do.
Mm.
Right? Which leads you even faster to more burnout.
So procrastination is a big red flag, yeah?
Procrastination of things that used to be really important.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that really, if it goes to a more full type of level, then you go to the next stage five, which is your revision of values.
Mm.
You find suddenly your values are skewed.
Mm.
Right? You're dismissing your friends and family more and more. The things, your hobbies and things that you used to do, they just seem irrelevant. You're just pushing them to the side, and all you're focusing on is work.
Mm.
And the same way as if you're not working, all you're doing is you're pushing these things aside, and all you're focusing on is your stress, your worries, your problems.
Mm.
How many people are sitting exactly like that every day? And from the moment they wake up to when they go to sleep, they're sitting and they're stressing and they're worrying. Sure. And they're stressing. And can you see that? Because burnout isn't a thing that happens at once. Burnout is a thing that happens progressively over time.
Yeah.
Right? So then we'll go to stage six and then see if we're good up until stage six. Stage six is called your denial of emerging problems. So in other words, in stage six, you're going into denial about what's going on, right? Somebody will say to you, but can you see your work is suffering? And you'll go, no, it isn't. and someone will say, you're not putting your weight the way you used to anymore. And you go, yes, I am. You feel that you're working as hard as what you are, but things are just starting to fall apart because you're starting to withdraw, right? Which is the next stage, but we'll go to the now. It's the starting stage of withdrawal.
I want to talk about what you started off with, Stanley, by saying that we need to characterize burnout correctly, that it's not Stanley's problem. It's our problem. There's a collectivity about the nature of this problem. It's not individual. Sure, it might manifest itself individually, but it's a collective problem. What does that mean, Stanley? What is the we-ness of the problem versus the I-ness of the problem?
Yeah, so the we-ness is that when somebody is in burnout, it affects everybody else around them, Aubrey. Like you're taking a work situation. Right, and this is where that specific statement comes in context in the work situation is that if we say that burnout, for example, is a me problem, then you'll have a situation where in a work situation people will say, well, that person, it's a personal problem. There's something not right. This is the whole problem. There's a stigma around it. There's something not right for that person. He needs professional help.
Yeah,
and without realizing, but it's not really so much, and this is what the research is doing, that person's problem, it's because of the environment he's finding himself in.
Yeah.
This person, it's a work problem.
Yeah.
We need to realize that every single person around us that burnt out affects us, because what happens is when we get to the next stage, stage seven, so let's quickly talk about that, you then go into withdrawal mode. You start withdrawing completely from your work, from your friends, from your family. I mean, in a work situation, I was actually speaking to someone last week and we were also talking about the work situation, and she would say, I've got three of my four colleagues that we work well together, we trust each other, everything's going well, but there's that one colleague that doesn't, we don't trust that person, she's always in a foul mood, she never helps anybody and does anything extra. That's one of the stages of burnout. You don't do anything extra than you have to do anymore. You just do what you've got to do.
Yeah, you don't go the extra mile. We had a conversation about this called quiet. Kind of, what do we call it again? Quiet quitting. Quiet quitting. But the darker aspect of it, because quiet quitting in the sort of beginning of the idea was that, you know, people are looking for a better quality of life. They want to get away from the hustle and bustle. So they make certain decisions about pushing back some of the demands of modern life. And they extricate themselves from those things that take away that quality of life. And people call that quiet quitting. But we found in a conversation I had last week with an expert was that there is now a darker side of quiet quitting, where people are doing exactly what you're saying, just doing the bare minimum, just no longer having that internal impetus and desire to go above and beyond. And that's where you get people saying to you, you go to a service provider or somebody that's supposed to be providing a service in a particular organization, and you say, can I speak to so-and-so? And they say, no, that person is not here. And then you're like, yeah, okay, is there somebody else I can talk to? No, there's nobody here. That's so I can't help you kind of attitude. I find it very, very, very challenging. But that's what you're talking about, where people do just the bare minimum, not going beyond the call of duty, as it were. Yeah?
Yeah, Aubrey. And in that situation, you see, and this is the thing, is that and that's why we're going to have this conversation on our next one when we talk about this, is that we think people burn out from work only because of one thing. They've got too much work, the workload. And workload is only one out of six factors that makes a person burn out, that makes a person withdraw, that makes a person disengage from their work. And when you go through the six factors, you realize in horror sometimes that there are many people in this country that work and all six factors are against them. No wonder they disengage. And I would say in many of our government spheres and offices, Aubrey, that many of those factors are not right. So those people are burnt out. They're just doing what they need to do. And one of the stages is exactly what you said. they disengage from people. They just don't care anymore. Mm. You know, so that's actually more severe at stage 9. We're now at stage 7. But stage 7 is the starting place for that. That's a very big warning sign. When a person is getting to that stage where they are withdrawing from life, that's a very serious stage, and that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, so many people are so used to that already that we've made it the norm. We think that that's okay, and it shouldn't be that way. We should be engaged in our jobs. We should be engaged in our lives. And but when you're at stage 7 already, it's very difficult. You do need someone to support you many times.
Yeah.
You can still support yourself,
yeah.
Which is what we do, is try and teach people how to self-care,
yeah.
How
yeah.
to self-support.
Yeah.
But if nobody's teaching you that, it's very difficult to do on your own, Aubrey.
One of the things I was thinking about was how, you know, when I was asking the question around the collectivity, the collectiveness of the problem, the fact that it's not a singular issue, that it's one that affects a collective, a group of people, rather than just the person that's going through the burnout, is to what extent is burnout caused by the group?
Well, I would say, if you could say percentage-wise, Aubrey, I'd say probably about 15 to 20%.
Yeah.
Because one of the six factors that you need to consider is the group. If the group environment is toxic, if the group environment is one, and how many businesses have you heard of that describe their business like this? Nobody trusts each other yet. We all have to send double, triple emails just to make sure that we're covered in case there's trouble. Nobody supports each other. Everyone always throwing each other under the bus. That's definitely one of the six major things in a business that causes burnout in employees.
Yeah.
So, yes, it does have a very big effect, Aubrey.
So give us a call, 011-883-0702. Recognize any of the stages that lead to burnout, at least the six that we've been talking about with Stanley Beckett. Have you recognized any of them? Are you in any of those stages? Are you beginning to find that you are starting to tune out? That you are perhaps, you know, you were the kind of person that really liked to go above and beyond the call of duty, as it were. You wanted to solve a problem, whatever it took. And you've come to a place now where you just feel, you know, I'll just do the bare minimum, get my salary. Are you finding that you're tired all the time? Are you finding that you are no longer interested in things that used to interest you? You know about them, but you've actually become jaded, yeah? Your comments are filled with cynicism. And you know that's not the type of person you are. But you're finding that lately your comments are cynical. They are, they've seen it all before, and there's a tone of being bored, but of being angry at the same time. You know what I mean, Stanley? That in your tone, whenever you speak about stuff, you almost roll your eyes because, you know, you're so disillusioned by stuff. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. As I speak to Stanley Beckett, we're talking about burnout. One of the challenges the world is experiencing at the moment, as one of the most of the growing realities of the world. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. As I speak to Stanley Beckett. You've already touched a little bit of stage 7, Stanley. Go deeper.
All right. So, yeah, 7 we've already got to. 7 is the withdrawal stage. Like we said, that's when you're pulling away. You can really see, and people can see it around you, because if it becomes more severe, it goes to stage 8. And stage 8 is what they call the odd behavior changes. So this is when you start changing your behavior so much that your friends, your family, everybody starts getting concerned. And it can be a bunch of things. It can be things like you're starting to drink more excessively than what you've ever done before. Or you're starting to take some kind of recreational drugs. Or you're oversleeping all the time. Or you start smoking. Right? So it's things that you would never usually do that everyone around you can obviously see. It might be a coping mechanism, but something inside of you is drastically changing. So up until then, it's hard for people to see it in you. But at this stage, other people outside of you can really start seeing. This is when we need to be so really supporting each other, because this is when someone can see this person's behavior is drastically changing, which is a very big sign of heading towards a burnout.
The scary thing is that most of the time you can see it in yourself, but you just can't stop yourself. You know, I remember going through a moment of burnout myself. And that's why I recognize what you're saying now, that but you can't stop yourself. You start to do things that are outside of your character. You pick up habits that are outside of your character. You know that this is not who you are. These are not the values that you have espoused. This is not the kind of person you understood yourself to be. And you start to behave in those kinds of ways that you find strange about yourself. But the scary part is when you can't stop yourself. I'm talking here, Stanley, about people that start to have a more promiscuous sort of lifestyle, right? Where they know that this is not, but they're finding themselves in a more promiscuous sort of lifestyle where they are hurtful in the way that they enter into relationships with other people. Casual sex is something that they do as part of a process of forgetting about some of their problems. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, actually what you're doing, Aubrey, you're very well defining stage nine of the burnout, which is the depersonalization stage. That's where, as you said, like sex, for example, will just be for the act. It's not even a person that you're thinking of that you're with.
Yeah.
You're depersonalizing them.
Yeah.
This is when you begin to devalue the role of people in your life, your coworkers, your friends, your family. You see them as less than human. And this is when you start getting people that go with severe road rage, as an example. You know, they're so burnt out. They're at stage nine already that they feel nobody else has the rights they do. They depersonalize. They get upset with the person who cuts them off. They get upset with the person that shows them disrespect, because they've gotten to such a level of depersonalizing others already that for them, that person deserves to be beaten up right now just for looking at me funny.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a very serious stage to be at. And what worries me about this, Aubrey, is how many, if you really understand nine, depersonalizing, you can understand a lot of the crimes. I mean, how many of the crimes, the severe crimes and murders in this country, just seem like it's a depersonalized crime? Like the person they're killing is just an object. They'll kill you just for your phone.
Yeah.
Right? How many violent crimes and stuff are taking part in this country at the moment? And it's a sign of how burnt out people are. It's a sign of how mentally unstable so many people are, because of the stress, because of the worry, because of the whatever it is that got them there. And yes, some people might do it at a very violent like that. Other people do it through rage. Other people do it through abusing, beating up their wives, through gender-based violence.
Yeah.
Other people do it through, I mean, there's just so many violent crimes and things that we're seeing. And I think a big part of that is because of this deep personalization that people experience.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702. What do you make of some of the things that Stanley is bringing out in this conversation? Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Listen, Stanley. Again, I'm sort of preoccupied around the issue of, shall we call it, the collectiveness of this. How then do... What then happens to the collective? What happens to the group if we don't arrest the continuation of burnout?
You know, as I'm listening to Aubrey, I'm almost thinking, seeing it like a cancerous type of thing. It just grows. Right? And it takes one person in a team to be burnt out, to always be miserable, to always be creating problems for others. Before you know it, it starts stressing the next person next to them out. Now, before you know it, you've got two people that are stressed and burnt out. The person who's burnt out in the first place And this is also important to realize, if we understand what the research is saying, is the person who's burnt out in the first place is because the work conditions are creating that burnout in the person. So if the work conditions are creating that burnout in one person, it's not long before it burns it out in the next person. Some people have a lot of grit. So it takes a lot of things to finally get them down. But the fact of the matter is, slowly but surely, people are being eroded away. Their grit is, they're not filling these cups up. So these cups are getting emptier and emptier, and they're not doing anything to fill it up. And that is a workplace problem. That is, it's the workplace's responsibility, if they want to continue being as profitable as they can be, to say, what are we doing to make sure that our employees are not suffering from this burnout? It's a we problem, not a me problem.
Yeah.
And it's something that can only work in an organization, Aubrey, if everybody, as a cultural thing, says we need to be working on this. If you make it taboo that only that person sitting in the corner and that person over there needs to go and have therapy, for example, those people are never going to own up, because they're going to know they're going to be stigmatized.
Yeah.
It needs to be the responsibility of the work to say, this is a problem we all need to be dealing with, and we shouldn't just be looking at it and saying our employees must go and fix themselves. We should be saying, what are we doing in the work to create an environment that is less likely for burnout to occur?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Give us a call, 011-883-07. Do you think that consciousness is, you know, we live in a very self-absorbed time and world, and you know, the ask that we be more compassionate, accommodative of others has become almost like society has burned out around that. Do we have that? How do we cultivate it, Stanley?
I think it's difficult, Colby. I think it comes right back to what we said in the beginning of the conversation. It's difficult to do that if you yourself are broken. You know, it's difficult to go and heal someone else if you yourself are suffering from burnout.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing we need to do, and I think that's what these conversations are really about, is to make each person aware of the first step. The first step is awareness. The awareness is that I myself am suffering from burnout if I look at these things. I mean, ask yourself, as you said rightfully, have I already reached that stage where I can feel I'm not sleeping as well as I used to? Am I just working these long hours? Am I stressing more than what I ever have before? Am I getting to that stage where I'm not looking after myself the way I should? Am I getting to that stage where I'm withdrawing from people? Am I getting to that stage where I'm just agonized and angry towards people all the time? So if we can start creating these things that individuals in themselves can see it, I think the first step is for people to heal themselves, or at least start filling those cups up a little bit more. But once we've done that, then absolutely, I think it is. We should all be focusing on is, how do we help each other? Because everybody needs that help. Everybody needs that support. And I'm sure if anybody is sitting there listening, I'm sure everybody on this call listening can identify a time in their life when they needed help and somebody helped them. So, but that stage, that we problem, I almost want to say, let's not confuse it by saying it's now suddenly all of our responsibility to help each other. I'm not at that stage yet. What I'm saying when I'm saying it's a we problem is that employers and businesses in this country and around the world are starting to realize that this is something that they cannot ignore anymore. This is something that they cannot just push to the individual employees and say, you guys fix yourself up. It's time for businesses to start creating an environment where burnout is less likely to occur. And I think for tonight, that's the we level that I'm talking about.
Wongan Jinga writes, Aubrey and Stanley Beckett, Robin Sharma wrote, our culture tells us to pursue titles and trinkets, applause and acclaim, money and mansions. All that's fine. It truly is. So long as you don't get brainwashed into defining your worth as a human being by these things, says Robin Sharma through Wong Ganjing. Take some calls, Stanley. Anonymous is in Johannesburg. Hi, Anonymous.
Good evening. You recognize you've got burnout at stage 9. That leads to suicide.
Sorry, Anonymous, I didn't get the full question. You recognize?
Being at stage 9, does that lead to suicide necessarily?
Yeah. Stanley?
Do you have
that? Aubrey, I would say it doesn't necessarily lead to suicide, but it could. You know, I mean that, let me just quickly tell you what the last three stages are. The last three stages after stage 9 is where you feel, stage 10 is where you feel an inner emptiness. In other words, you can't see your future anymore. Nothing excites you anymore. Right, your goals, you don't really have goals other than just to get through the day if it's at all possible, and you don't even want to get up in the morning. So that leads to stage 7, which is depression. Right, and in depression, we all know what depression is, so I'm not going to go into too much detail, but the last stage after depression is where you can reach the full burnout syndrome. And to us, that's when you're completely in a burnout and you're physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you are burnt out, your cups are empty. Now, if the question is, does that lead to suicide? No, it doesn't necessarily lead to suicide, but the studies around the world do show that there are more and more suicides, increase in suicides due to burnout. So it could lead to, and that's why I said burnout, and the thing is, Aubrey, is that that burnout doesn't only lead to suicides. Burnout also leads to, I think I read an article recently that over 2 million people, they reckon last year, died from burnout, from heart-related diseases, strokes, the stress that burnout brings. So yes, burnout can lead to a person deciding there's no point to carry on living, and this happens in teenagers, which is a big concern for me. But there's also other dangers, like burnout can definitely lead to heart problems, strokes, all these kind of cardiovascular diseases. Yep. So it's a really serious thing. It's not only mentally, but it can physically mean a person's life if they don't deal with it properly.
Bafana is in Mohlakeng. Good evening to you, Bafana.
Good evening, Opri. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, my brother. What is on your mind?
You know, the discussion resonates with me about burnout.
Yeah.
I think I'm at that stage where I've reached burnout because I feel like my dreams are drifting away from me. And also I feel like my age, you know, I'm reaching now 49 years old and I'm a very motivated person.
Yeah.
You know, last year what I did is I took a leap of faith and then registered with a TVET college in KZN while I'm based here in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is I went there, I studied for 6 months, I performed very well. But you know, something derailed my plan. Mm-hmm. Also on the other side, I'm a businessman, I'm a budding entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So what happened is while I was in KZN and after I've passed my N4, and then I passed very well, so I was now enrolled to my N5.
Mm.
I received a call in Johannesburg where I had a proposal that I put forward to a certain municipality. I won't mention the name.
Yeah.
So because it was a lucrative deal, I canceled my studies. I came back to Joburg.
Mm.
So as I came back to Joburg, now I've submitted everything that they needed. So I've been waiting for 2 months. And now this issue of burnout is resonating with me because I feel like I've done everything that I needed to do.
Yes.
But my plans keep on getting derailed.
Yeah, I hear you.
Now I'm standing in a limbo and now I'm in a stage where now I'm sort of like blaming myself and it's causing a lot of stress for me because now even my neck, you know, I've got a very sore pain.
Yeah, yeah. No, so it's starting to manifest in your body now, yeah?
It's starting, yeah, it's eating me, but no, I'm a self-motivated kind of a person. I keep on pushing myself. I'm trying all sort of things, try to keep my mind from thinking too much about my plans. And now my thing is, you know, this thing has affected me so much because I don't even stay with my kids. I want to do a lot of things for my kids. I have a very close relationship with them, but financially I'm not there for them, you know. And now I'm saying, while I'm listening to you talking about burnout, I feel I'm in that stage, but I'm not depressed because I am this kind of a person who's motivated, self-motivated. But yeah. my issue is, I feel like every time I try to do something, my plans get
I get it, Bafan. Let's hear what Stanley has to say about that. I mean, this is a highly motivated person who's tried everything he knows at trying to make a living, at trying to build a business, at trying to, but things are just not working, Stanley. Things are just not coming the way that he wants them. And he is starting to feel that burnout, or is in fact in that space. What does a person like Bafana do?
Yeah, so I'm always very careful about giving any specific advice, unless they actually understand much more. But I can definitely give a general type of insight to people who feel like Bafana there. And, you know, the first thing he identified about himself that you said, Aubrey, is that he's got a lot of grit already.
Mm.
You know, it sounds to me like he's got a lot of spiritual grit because he's got a lot of belief. He's got a lot of faith.
Yep.
But it sounds to me like what's starting to get eroded is his emotional grit. Because it's up and down, and then he's hoping for something and then it doesn't happen. And then his emotional grit goes down. And that's now affecting all the different areas. So he's got a lot of grit, but here's the danger, is this burnout is starting to erode that grit away.
Yeah.
And you can see it from what he said. I'm starting to withdraw.
Yeah.
I'm starting to, he's in the withdrawal stage, you know. And one thing, like I said, I'm not going to give advice specifically, but one thing I would say to someone like that is that when you go to that stage of burnout, I think a part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, is not functioning the way that it should. In other words, you are not thinking as reasonably as you should.
Mm.
And in his opportunity, if you had to sit down with him outside, they might actually, without his awareness, and I don't know this because I haven't sat with him, that's why I'm quite careful to say this, but in many instances I've seen this, you might find that there's many opportunities available to him, but he's not seeing it because of the burnout stage he's in. So what he needs to do, and we'll talk about this in further episodes, is he really needs to start filling those cups up again. So where that emotional cup is empty, what does he need to do to start filling that up? Where that spiritual cup is empty, what does he need to start filling it up? Because when he can start doing that, then it's almost like his brain can start calming down again, and he can maybe start seeing an opportunity that's right there for him that he didn't see before. So, like I said, generally, that is what I would say to people, is that the first step is to have the awareness and the acceptance. This is what he did well. He has the awareness that there's a problem. He's accepted that there's a problem. Now he needs to move to the next two steps, which is he needs to commit to a course of action to start filling up. And secondly, he needs to also commit to a course of action to stop those gaps. So it's no point filling up your cup if there's these holes. If the thing that's causing the stress, the burnout for you in the first place, is still there, you need to deal with it. But as for exact those steps, that's something a person would need to know through a much longer conversation.
Take my last call here. Dave in Johannesburg. Hi, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Aubrey.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Aubrey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead. Please switch off your radio.
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
So, obviously, thanks for the show tonight. Burnout is a very real phenomenon. And the reality is the diagnosis is not always identified by doctors. About 6 years ago, I was experiencing extreme fatigue, where I just couldn't wake up in the morning. Just brushing my teeth felt like I was running a marathon. And that just manifested more and more to a point where I just couldn't continue with life. I stopped sleeping, I stopped eating. And then probably one of the worst symptoms came up was depersonalization, derealization.
Mm.
Which at that stage I wasn't aware of was a condition. Went to a psychologist. They explained to me it's an anxiety condition caused by burnout, by ongoing anxiety and worry. And eventually manifested itself in such a way that my brain dissociated completely from my state of being. and I didn't know who I was. I looked in the mirror, I didn't identify myself, and that whole phenomenon, that whole thing brought on what they call the fight-flight fear, or the fight-flight freeze, and where your body goes into a freeze state. And you're so burnt out, your adrenals are burnt out.
Yeah.
You don't have the energy, the hormones to physically or mentally continue. And it's the worst condition I've ever experienced.
Dave,
I have crawled back to some sort of normality through medication, through hypnosis, relaxation, techniques, breathing techniques, etc.
Sure.
And I just feel that my life changed completely, and I lost a big part of me. My wife lost her husband. My kids lost their dad.
Oh, my.
And I'm having to find myself again. So, I've been there, and to all the Dave, listening, recover.
Thanks very much.
I think what brought it on was just years and years of I've run my own business, and you know, you're working 18-hour days trying to make a living.
Sure.
And you just bring it.
Dave, I've got to stop you there. I've got to stop you there because we've completely run out of time. But Stanley, I mean, that last call, just underscoring the fact that this is real, right? Burnout is real. How do we get in touch with you? And I'm sure this conversation is going to be continuing.
Yeah. So I'm making an offer to all our listeners, because I know you have to go to the news. We're offering to all the listeners to come and do. It's not going to cost you anything. Come and do an assessment with us, so we can see where your burnout level is, and that you're aware what's causing that. If you're interested in doing that with us, contact us at our webpage, which is changecreatorsa.com. At the bottom, you will see a place where you can leave your details, changecreatorsa.com, or you can email me directly, stanley@changecreatorsa.com, and tell me you'd be interested, and then let's start talking about it and seeing if we can help people assess where they are and what they need to do.
Stanley Beckett, let me thank you once again for joining us.